Friday, January the 23rd, 2015 will forever be etched in the memories of Cambridge United supporters, and in this special programme we look back at their famous FA Cup game with Manchester United at the Abbey Stadium 10 years on. Hughes held the Premier League giants to a goalless draw and took them to a replay at Old Trafford on one of the club's finest ever evenings. That night also put wide smiles on the faces of fans who'd stuck with the club through thick and thin. We hear from those who were on the terraces.
It was carnage. It was absolute carnage. It was like a carnival atmosphere. You know, it was like a different level to us being promoted.
We get the thoughts of the players who were on the pitch.
You never know. FA Cup, that is the magic of the FA Cup. Something could happen. And then obviously what happened, happened.
And we also look at the legacy.
It came after, you know, a dark period for the club, and it put Cambridge United back on the map.
As we tell the story of the match itself, the replay, and what followed afterwards. My name is Daniel Baker, and this is Cambridge Sports Special, Habin, the Night of Our Lives. Sunday, May the 18th, 2014. Cambridge United are at Wembley for the second time in the 2013-14 season and beat Gateshead 2-1 to secure their return to the Football League after a 9-year absence.
My name's Michael Barnes. I've been a Cambridge United fan since the end of 2003. Followed through thick and thin, and I'm currently the stadium announcer at the Abbey Stadium. Great emotion when that promotion was sealed. Big party at the Abbey Stadium.
Salim Akambi, professional football player, currently at Hemel Hempstead, previous academy graduate at Cambridge United. When they did manage to get back into the EFL, it was massive for the club. You saw the crowds rise at the stadium. The teams that they were playing were of bigger status, of course, as well.
Saturday, August the 9th, 2014. Cambridge United host Plymouth Argyle in their first game back in the Football League.
I'm Matt Lockwood, and I have been a Cambridge United fan for 34 years. Things were looking up, you know, they really were. You know, the first time in the league for 9 years, and it was like, oh, we'd never kind of been away.
The Hughes win 1-0 thanks to a close-range effort from local lad Josh Coulson. It was a perfect way to mark their return.
After the game, that was it. You know, we always, as Cambridge United fan at home, back in the league, it's the dream.
Saturday, November the 8th, 2014. The Hughes beat Fleetwood Town 1-0 to reach round two of the FA Cup for the second consecutive season. Tuesday, December the 16th, 2014. Cambridge United beat Mansfield Town 1-0 at Field Mill in their second round replay, courtesy of a goal from Sulay Kaikai. The reward would be a home game with bitter rivals Luton Town in round three at the Abbey Stadium on January the 3rd, 2015.
We always seem to get drawn against each other in the FA Trophy. And, of course, when the third round FA Cup draw came along, it was no surprise that we got matched against Luton.
Let's meet some of the fans who remember that day.
My name is Gary Attis. I've been a fan of Cambridge United for 60 years this season. When the Man United game was played, it was bang on 50 years.
My name's Scott McGeorge. I'm 44 years old and I've supported Cambridge United since I was 7 years old.
They would go on to win the game 2-1.
It was just great to get one over on Luton, particularly after some of the defeats we'd had and some of the frustrations of not being able to put one over them.
What a feeling. I remember I used to stand in the Habin stand at that point and just coming away from the stadium with such a buzz and feel-good factor. So that alone, little did I know what was to come next.
2 days later, on January the 5th, the draw for the fourth round was made. Cambridge United were drawn at home to Manchester United.
My name's Tim Armitage. I'm a bit older than Scott, 58 years old, and I've only been a recent convert, having come back from Australia and looked for a local club since, 2010. You hope for a big draw, and you hope for it to be a home draw. So, you know, you're perfect to pull that Man United out of the bag at home. Just having the two Wembley successes was great, to then get promotion, to then suddenly be drawn against Manchester United. It was one of those dream ones. You know, you look at it and you think, does it get any better than this?
I was at home, but I remember leaping around my lounge like a lunatic, because that's as good as it gets. You know, Manchester United at home or Manchester United away, it's just amazing.
I was at home. I still lived with my mum at the time, so I was up in my bedroom over in Havehill. That's where we were.
I was working away when the draw was made and just couldn't believe it. I think we were ball number 10 and drew Manchester United.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was a bit panicked, though, because I thought, oh, here we go, I'm not going to be able to get tickets. And I've been going to like all the games before that, so I thought that was going to be the one that we couldn't get tickets for. But the club are really good, and they prioritised, I think it was 2 tickets for each academy family.
I remember my mum shouting, I remember my brother shouting, I was shouting, and then I had about 30 messages straight away on my phone.
The first thought was not, well, that's the end of our FA Cup run then. You know, it's we're going to be playing a big team at our little stadium. It's Manchester United, and, you know, with images of Wayne Rooney and all of their array of international stars starts going through your head.
The only other one that I probably would have wanted, but it was Liverpool. But, yeah, you know, beggars can't be choosers.
You always dreamed, but you never thought that you'd get this type of draw.
The news also went down well with the players.
Josh Coulson, former Cambridge United centre-half, in my living room, watching the draw of my wife, whose family are big Man United fans. And I didn't know what number they were, their ball. I was just worried about ours, and she knew. So when that ball came out, was it number 30 or something like that? She knew it was that. So she was more excited before I was, because it took me a while to process who we'd been drawn.
Luke Chadwick, former Cambridge United and Manchester United midfielder. I remember it vividly. I can't quite believe it was 10 years ago now, but I was in my living room at home with my wife and two children, watching a draw come through, sort of hoping, saw the numbers were at the sides, hoping to get a home draw, come out Cambridge United. Then they read out the number and was looking and sort of saw it was next to Manchester United. But when they actually read it out, it was bedlam in the house. Couldn't quite believe it.
My name's Tom Champion, ex-Cambridge United midfielder. My wife and her side of the family are all Man United supporters. So they were joking beforehand that, oh, God, can you imagine getting somebody like them? I was a big Tottenham fan. I'm a big Tottenham fan, and my family were all hoping that we'd get Tottenham. Tottenham away was their hope. So we had those thoughts and feelings before the draw. And obviously when our name came out first in the hat, I was slightly disappointed because we were obviously hoping for an away, perhaps an away Premier League tie. Yeah, when Man United came out of the hat, I think it was took about 5 seconds, and then my phone started lighting up every couple of minutes with messages from friends and family, and obviously my wife's side of the family going crazy.
Radio. Wednesday, January the 21st, 2015. Cambridge United manager Richard Money speaks to the media 48 hours before the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, if we were looking at the opposition, you'd want to play all 18, wouldn't you? So, yeah, that's true, but I do think when you've got key personnel fit, by and large, they're going to be on the pitch somewhere. And, you know, every team has its key personnel, and we're no different in that. But if you're implying because we won the game 4-0 Saturday, is it an automatic given that the same 11 will start on Friday? Then the answer to that is obviously no.
In the team meetings, he's talking about, you know, their strengths and their weaknesses, and can we exploit that some of their weaknesses on the day? And it was just, yeah, it was just pure focus.
Well, I don't think you can think too much about who the individuals are going to be, because, you know, they have a plethora of incredible talent, and any of whom can play this Friday. So, you know, it would be dangerous for me to suggest to the group that this is going to be the team, because I haven't got a clue who the individuals are going to be. The only thing that you can plan for is how you think they're going to play. And obviously that's what we'll be focusing on. And in the main, focusing on what we can do. I think that's important.
One thing that Richard Money was very, very big on was you would never let anybody get caught up in the fanfare and excitement or get too overexcited. And I think he wanted us to focus on the game and the task at hand.
Yeah, it becomes far more important simply because it's the next game. And yeah, we'll just try and prepare for it in the same way that we do every other week. Obviously, the names are different and the profile's different, but we'll still make the same type of planning preparation and see where it takes us.
The players also fancied their chances, and as Josh Coulson explains, they also wanted their share of the cash that was going to be coming in.
The FA Cup's always quite a nice one. If you get through X round, you get X amount per player and stuff like that. And I remember we had a little get-together as players and was like, wow, we've got Man United, the club's going to earn a lot of money here. Maybe we should like bring it up saying, can we change the bonuses? Because there's a lot of money coming in now. We want our share. I think rightly so, we sort of earned that draw and done really well. And I remember Richard Money kicking off, fuming that we'd even thought about money and we should be. And then he was fuming. The boys were like, oh no, shouldn't have probably asked that. Anyway, the next day he'd come in and we had another meeting and he was like, you know what, boys? I love it. You actually think you can get a result against them. And I remember that sticking out, because then you actually think, yeah, why not?
Friday, January the 23rd, 2015, the night of the match. It's Cambridge United versus Manchester United for a place in the fifth round of the FA Cup. For the hosts, a place in the competition's folklore also beckons. Thousands of fans are in attendance, and the whole world is also watching.
It was a special occasion. I think it was a Friday evening, and you knew all eyes were on you that evening. You know, the media, the match of the day, the Gary Lineker, etc., up in the box in the corner. Everyone's watching you. You know, your friends and family are texting, and all eyes are on Cambridge United against Manchester United for that one evening only.
I remember I had school that day, and I was just at school, just buzzing, absolutely buzzing to get to the stadium to watch the game. I think a lot of my mates at school had actually left early to get to the ground earlier so that they would catch the United bus.
It was like a very different preparation for the game. The club put their hand in their pocket. We went to Quay Mill Hotel for a slap-up pre-match meal, and then the bus took us into the stadium.
Perhaps unsurprisingly, there's a huge amount of media interest in the game. Some reporters are even mixing in with the fans. No one wants to miss this.
Michael McCann, sports journalist and broadcaster. In and around a decade or so ago, having grown up in Cambridge, tended to cover in both a written and broadcast and podcasting capacity a fair bit of Cambridge United's travails, I decided it would just be the best place to soak up the atmosphere of the occasion to be in the Newmarket Road End. So I went with a few fans and friends of mine who were huge Cambridge United supporters, and just felt I fully embraced the magic of the FA Cup. And I'm so glad I was in there.
8,500 people came in, and I think there were probably like 2,000 accompanying press there. They were literally, it was funny looking at who was there, and they had to, not everyone could get into the actual stadium because there weren't enough seats. So there were people sitting downstairs under the north stand watching the relay game. From papers all over the world were there. It was really amazing.
The game was chosen for live television coverage. It was moved forward to the Friday night, and the BBC erected a little studio in the corner of the south stand and the Habin, the bit where the new seating now is. I think Dan Walker was on the pitch reporter, Lineker was fronting, and Shearer and Phil Neville were the pundits.
The lead up to the game was just so different to what we were used to. The press, the eyes that were on the club and the team.
Really, really surreal, you know, to have those stars, you know, in your local town. Like, I don't live too far from the stadium, and I just remember that evening, it was so unique, like the buzz around the city, knowing that, you know, these international giants were coming to the ground, you know, to play your local team.
The two teams are separated by 76 league places, but as we know, that doesn't mean anything in the world's oldest and most thrilling domestic competition. Here's the story of the game told to us by the players on the pitch and those cheering them on.
It was January evening, it was very cold. There were the half and half scarf sellers on the various street corners.
I was situated in the Habin stand. I'm usually a Newmarket Road End supporter, but I had a few seasons across in the Habin there, and that's where I was stood for the game. And that's not notorious for chants and singing, but the whole ground was electric.
I was sat in what's been my season ticket for season ticket place for the last 14 years. So yeah, the main stand.
I was in the main stand, but near the front, so close to the pitch. I think close to the home dugout.
I wasn't a season ticket holder, so I got my ticket via being a CFU member, and me and my son Dan stood together on the South Habin, which wasn't a place in the stadium that I usually stood.
I was a Habinite in those days, so I was stood as pretty central in the Habin, I think it was.
I was in the Newmarket Road End, which all United fans know is, you know, behind the goals, the standing area, the main singing section at the time. So I was just to the left of the goal, managed to get my normal spot for the game, which was a bit of a surprise with the ticket sales and everything.
As you'd expect it to be, the atmosphere was amazing. The atmosphere was amazing outside the ground because there were so many people milling around waiting to get in because of the turnstiles and everything, not really keeping up with the number of people that were there.
People who couldn't get in the Market Road End or the Habin North or even the main stand were suddenly thrown together in the South Habin, and there's a great atmosphere, really, really good.
The main thing I remember from that night is all four corners of the ground were so loud throughout, and the NRE in particular, it felt like the roof was going to jump off the place.
I had as many family as I could cram into that stadium, and my brother, who lived in America at the time, came over especially for that home fixture. thinking probably that we would get knocked out, but he would get to see me play against Man United and that would be the end of the story.
There's absolutely zero expectation or pressure on your team, but you've got everything to gain.
You dream about beating them, but you didn't really think it was going to happen. It was just getting out there and, you know, watching United play at the Abbey and at least doing ourselves, you know, some credit out of it.
There wasn't a vacant seat in the stadium. The fans were, you know, loud, noisy, you know, and very, very supportive. And you just felt this unity, you know. We really outnumbered the Man United support.
Chris Dunn played in goal.
Yeah.
Josh Coulson missed the goal.
Richard Tate, Greg Taylor.
Michael Nelson.
Tom Champion. Ryan Donaldson.
Cameron McGeehan.
Liam Hughes in midfield. Luke Chadwick replaced him.
Sully Kaikai, there you go. Replaced later on by Harrison Dunk.
Tom Elliott up front.
I remember it being a surprise that David De Gea started in goal because they had Victor Valdes, who was Barcelona's goalkeeper at the time. Antonio Valencia was playing right back.
Marcus Rocco.
Phil Jones.
Daley Blind.
Michael Carrick and Marouane Fellaini were in the middle. Fellaini with his big hair, of course.
Angel Di Maria. Radamel Falcao.
And then there were a couple of youngsters. There was Adnan Januzaj and young James Wilson up front. And Wilson came off in the second half to be replaced by Robin van Persie. Louis van Gaal was their manager. You know, big figure in world football, controversial man.
The stat that kind of impressed me was that their bench was worth more than our entire club was.
Once you were in your place, that's really where you stayed. There's absolutely no prospect of moving.
And I think it's totally different to a playoff semi-final or a playoff final at Wembley. It was so different because there was no pressure on us. No pressure. It was literally don't make yourself look stupid almost, like on telly. Again, these should wipe the floor with us, really.
It was a definite pinch me moment lining up and ready to take the team out as captain and lining up alongside Michael Carrick, who was a bit of an idol of mine, actually. I was a Tottenham fan, and he was I absolutely loved him as a player. And yeah, so to play alongside him, he was captain in the home tie.
They all are bigger than you think they are. They look small on telly. So it was quite good, quite surreal standing there looking at him thinking, well, these geezers are on silly, silly money. They're about to walk out on the same pitch as me. We're even. We're basically equals here because we're both in the same pitch, same match.
Yeah, he's whipped a good ball in, and you know, he was good at that, Donaldson, of getting that ball in between the goalkeeper and the last defender, just in that, I think they call that, corridor of danger.
And in the end, but yeah, he whipped this excellent ball into the box, and Elliot rose and, you know, surprisingly got through, you know, in between the defenders, and just, yeah, he just didn't quite catch it.
Going up the corners, there was that air of, you know, you felt like you could jump 2 feet higher and try and get on the end of thing and be a hero. So I think that was definitely, a moment that maybe if it had just crept the other side of the post from Hughesy.
I remember Blin probably being free at the back post, and Dunn made a really good save, and I thought he could have done better with that shot.
Nobody was really feeling the cold because it was so packed in there, and the noise just grew and grew.
I think maybe Phil Jones would pass the ball off the pitch, and it was about 30 minutes into the game, they passed the ball off the pitch, and it got a cheer like it was a goal. You know, massive cheer went up as if we were really rattling them.
I just remember that evening, as the game went on, and the longer it stayed at 0-0, we were in the game, like, you could see the Man United players were on edge, you know. They were really on edge, and you thought, all right, Cambridge will get a chance here.
Most nervous I was at the point where Josh Coulson missed that header.
I think it was a corner that came across from the main stand side, so the far side from where I was standing.
I go up, and we nearly scored before it. It's sort of ricocheting around, and then it sort of comes off someone, and it's sort of almost on my head. It's a bit high, but yeah, just sort of head it over the bar. Couldn't get probably over the top of it enough.
You kind of looked at it and thought, this has got to be it, this has got to be the chance. And unfortunately, it went over the top, and I think it looped over and literally landed on top of the net.
There's a brilliant picture of sort of De Gea looking, thinking, oh no, is that going in?
Looking back, I mean, that was the moment.
I remember Angel Di Maria blazing over the Newmarket Road end. I think it was on a couple of occasions. It actually cleared the stand, and there was big cheers went up.
I think I remember the Di Maria miss, which obviously, you know, we really all enjoyed. You know, what a waste of money.
Di Maria, I remember him vividly because he was a lot smaller than I thought he would be.
Let alone get it on target, I think the ball ended up on Newmarket Road.
I bet he hasn't played in that many stadiums where you couldn't hit the ball over the top of the stand.
There was one special moment in the first half, and it was right down by me near the halfway line at the Habin stand side, where Ryan Donaldson picked the ball up, and we were used to him making them surging runs forward, and he was up against Daley Blind, the Dutch international. Blind was stood there and Donaldson nutmegged him, put it through his legs, yeah, and ran round him, and to be honest, that got a cheer like a goal.
But once it got to not a million miles off half time, you could just feel minute by minute the belief start to grow from the fan base that we could be watching something truly remarkable in terms of FA Cup history here.
So that first half, it was reasonably even.
So to go in at half-time 0-0, I think the message was very much kind of continue doing as we're doing, frustrate them, and you never know what can happen.
Probably shaded the first half, but as I say, you know, the quality of their players told in the second.
I do remember, though, distinctly seeing Anna's I've been through and thinking this could be the end of the dream.
And it was just constant, utter pressure, like just all for most of the second half.
Chris Dunn denied Falcao. He made many saves with his legs that evening. He didn't have a great career at Cambridge United, Chris Dunn, but that was, you know, that was his moment of glory, and he stood up big, literally in every sense of the word.
It just felt like at some point, you know, that we were going to concede.
And with every kind of misplaced pass from Man United or any chance that they missed, it got a cheer as if we had scored a goal. So it just created this atmosphere, I think, and motivation for all of the players. And I think that kind of had a ripple effect in the confidence as the game went on.
Robin van Persie had a chance late on, which I remember for some reason.
Our hearts all sunk at that point when we see him go through.
Yeah, he blazed over, yeah.
Got this increasing sense of Cambridge might do it, Cambridge might do it, Cambridge might do it.
I mean, Chadwick got an amazing reception when he came on as a sub about 15 minutes from the end.
We were putting bodies on the line to stop shots and crosses coming in.
60th minute, 70th minute, 80th minute, and it's still 0-0, and there's been chances. You think, wow, we could really do cause an upset here.
We were hanging on, obviously, and you expect it with the multi-million pound players that they had.
I remember asking the referee how long there was to go, and added time felt like it lasted forever, as it does in those games when you're trying to kind of see the game out.
When we did get the ball in their half, it was a case of trying to hold on to it, try and kill a bit of time.
If you're going to come away and keep a clean sheet against Manchester United, against all of these stars that we've mentioned, then you're going to have to play like at least 9 out of 10, and Chris Dunn certainly did that.
A bit later on, he was forced into a double save.
He got one later on in the game, just in the dying seconds of the game. I think it was Di Maria. He got the punch that cleared the ball away.
It was quite surreal, really. Obviously, I came on late in the game, but to be on the pitch when that final whistle went, you sort of think, has that really happened? We're now going to go off to Old Trafford to play in the replay. So it was quite a surreal evening, really.
But I remember going around, we beat Man U 0-0, you know, and all this. It was a really weird chant.
When the full-time whistle went, I mean, there was about 8,000 in the ground, but it genuinely felt like there was about 80,000 in there. It was just carnival.
The most amazing thing about it is they weren't overawed. I mean, imagine being out on the pitch with that much talent and you look at it and think, you know, they could just go to pieces here and it could be just, you know, a real nightmare for us. But they absolutely weren't overawed by the occasion, and it worked really well for us.
We kind of reduced the status of those international stars that had come to our turf to come and compete with our lads.
And I can remember not being that nervous, really. They never seemed to threaten us that much during the game. Not for me, they didn't. You know, they had the odd shot here and there, but it was almost like we contained them.
And it was just beyond belief. It was just like, have we just really held Man United 0-0? Have we really, really just done this?
Cambridge United gave as good as they got. They weren't going to win on fitness, and they weren't going to win on skill and experience, but they had endeavour, and as Richard Money had said a number of times, they were very well organised.
Yeah, it gave Manchester United, with a catalogue of superstars, a really, really hard night's work.
This smorgasbord of absolutely top players not able to find their way through a fourth division mid-table team.
Don't think I've been at a game where there's just been constant chanting and singing. Like, my head was just literally throbbing after the game, and it took a good while to sort of come down from that great high that we rode that evening.
You know, I walked away thinking, you know, we'd given them a bit of a game there. Like, you know, we didn't disgrace ourselves at all. You know, we thoroughly deserved the replay.
We get to go to Old Trafford, and you know what better way to do that? Start the new year with an away tie against United at Old Trafford.
It was just like something else. It felt like you'd almost been to a music festival. It was that loud and raucous.
We really wanted to see our team beat Man United, you know, at home, and we almost did.
It was carnage. It was absolute carnage. It was like a carnival atmosphere. You know, it was like a different level to us being promoted.
A lot of Cambridge United fans after the game, as well as celebrating, actually lining up to get shirts signed, to get programmes signed in the rain as the Manchester United players dejectedly trooped back onto the coach after this miserable night at Cambridge.
I remember we celebrated, the whole stadium, or at least the three Cambridge United sides of it, celebrated as if we'd won the game.
Up next, delirium and disillusionment. We look back at what Richard Money and Louis van Gaal had to say at full time. Stay tuned.
We are Cambridge Radio.
Cambridge Radio podcasts tell the story of our city and the people who live here, serving the best of Cambridge breakfast.
Would you say if it was moved either to somewhere else, at CB1 area, not so prominent, or to even to another part of Cambridge?
I don't think that it's the wrong kind of art for Cambridge. I think it's the wrong kind of art to be a public work of art in a very public place.
Taste the local food scene in flavour.
And it became a really lovely community project built around local people, their heritage, their culinary heritage as well, which is super exciting.
Download the latest in tech with Gadget Guide.
Whilst it might be a little bit frustrating that, oh yeah, why is it that it breaks something, at least they are proactively stopping this being installed.
Listen to your favourite Cambridge podcast on Radio Player or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Cambridge Radio.
Welcome back to Cambridge Sports Special, having the night of our lives on Cambridge Radio. A short time ago, supporters and players told the story of Cambridge United's famous goalless draw with Manchester United in the fourth round of the FA Cup at the Abbey Stadium. The U's had pulled off a huge shock, and their reward would be a money-spinning replay at Old Trafford, where their players would go toe-to-toe with the big boys once again. Scott McGeorge, Tim Armitage and Michael McCann talk us through a somewhat infamous press conference involving a certain manager who had nearly taken his country to a World Cup final the summer before.
People like Louis van Gaal are used to getting their own way, and that wasn't the case that evening, so I suppose his post-match was the consequence of that. Things didn't go his way, and they nearly ended up with egg on their face.
I was in the press call afterwards, and I just thought, he sounded like a very bitter and twisted man, unfortunately. He didn't credit Cambridge with anything. He spent half the press call moaning about the state of the pitch, which actually wasn't a bad pitch at all.
Every aspect of a match is against us. We have to come here. The pitch is not so good, but that can influence also that you play in another play style.
Yeah, absolutely nonsense about the pitch. It's been in good nick for many a year. You know, you could have pointed the finger years ago when, you know, John Beck was the manager and Ian Dahler was instructed to put tractor loads of sand on it, but that wasn't the case that evening. It was in great condition.
He never once really gave Cambridge credit for what they'd achieved, which is hold a multi-million pound side to a nil or draw.
You have seen the referee, it's always the same. Everywhere I have coached this games, and I have coached them also with other clubs, it's always the same.
Lacked a little bit of integrity, decorum, class, whatever way you want to put it.
No, because I'm not like you. I know that it is very difficult to beat such an opponent in these circumstances. I know that in advance. I have said it also in my press conference before Jovel Town. So that's no difference. we know in advance that everything is against us.
I thought Louis van Gaal came across really poorly. When you've had a game like that and you are 76 places above your opponents with 200, 300 times the wage bill, all of the things we know about, without me to get all, this is Manchester United, to use a phrase that gets banded around a lot. You just turn around and say, fair play to Cambridge, they deserved it. You don't start making excuses.
Meanwhile, his opposite number, Richard Money, was far happier.
Difficult to put into words, really, just how proud we are. I think, you know, when you get back in the dressing room and recover, you just suddenly start to think about what it means to so many people, you know. This club has been in the doldrums for 10 years out of the Football League, and suddenly here we are taking everybody back to Old Trafford. It's incredible. If anybody felt that we were going to go into the game and have more than our fair share of possession, then they'd be sadly mistaken. We knew that they'd have a lot of the ball. But I thought in the first half we pinched it at good times and looked dangerous. I thought there was two or three set plays that were very, very close and we just couldn't quite force it home. Second half, we've shown all the character and all the courage that you're talking about. Yeah, I think they got a bit edgy second half, and understandably so, went a little bit quiet. And then suddenly, with about 15 minutes to go, they thought, hang on, we can get a replay here. And it was good again. I thought first half they were great. They're big games. But yeah, look, obviously tonight was huge. And the result is massive, massive.
Richard Money summed it up perfectly after the first game, that the score in the replay is totally irrelevant. Just go there and enjoy it.
We've just said in the dressing room, you know, you're going to Old Trafford. Who cares what happens? Who cares? You know, just go and enjoy it. Soak it in. You know, we're taking our supporters back to Old Trafford. You're going to go and play on a fantastic stadium, 75,000 people. You know what I mean? Whatever happens, happens.
Money himself didn't use the word giant killing in his post-match interview. But was it one?
It wasn't a giant killing in our world. It kind of was, you know. It was like the dream ticket, especially, you know, getting the replay. It was special, you know. We were written off. There's no way we were meant to get a result.
To actually come away with a draw felt like one of the biggest victories we'd had for ages. I mean, and it was, to be fair. The talent that was there, you know, should have made mincemeat of us. And lots of clubs have found this in the FA Cup. That's the great thing about the FA Cup. Sometimes talent, you know, it's perceived talent counts for nothing because the other team want to put one over on those clubs.
And was it better to draw the game than win it? Gary Atters and Matt Lockwood share their thoughts.
The thing I got in the first game is I didn't feel as nervous about conceding as I'd expected to a team of that level. And that sort of shocked me, I suppose, as the game went on. And it was, in the end, being more nervous about scoring a goal that could take away the money that you could, you know. We didn't want to beat them.
Going into the day and going into the game, it was all about the replay. But I'll be honest with you, I just wanted that replay at Old Trafford because the amount of money that it would get you. So, you know, we knew we'd be on TV in the first place. You know, we knew we'd get some decent money from the FA Cup run and from that game as well.
And what else did Matt and Michael Barnes take away from the match at the Abbey Stadium?
I've had some amazing times with United. So many. And yeah, this one was just, it was something different. There was an electricity in the air. There was a buzz around the town. And I remember going to see my mates after the game, actually. They were just sitting in a pub, watched it on TV. And they were just like, you're brilliant. Like, oh, it sounded electric, the atmosphere, everything. It, you know, what a pleasure it had to be at that game. And I was like, yeah, you know, that's something that lives long in the memory. And it certainly did.
The fact that we got drawn against probably the most famous team in the world and held them to a draw at our little outdated stadium was in itself an achievement that doesn't come along very often.
United had been inches away from knocking out one of the biggest clubs in the world. Luke Chadwick describes the mood in the dressing room after the game.
Back in the dressing room, it was certainly a sort of jovial sort of dressing room to go back into. Obviously, Rich was absolutely buzzing. I didn't swap a shirt originally. One of the guys, the masseur for Manchester United, was a guy called Rod Thornley, someone who was a masseur when I was there. So I asked him to go and get some shirts, not just for me, but for the lads. So he came back in and I got Phil Jones's was a shirt that I got from the night. So I think my eldest son, Lewis, has still got that sort of hanging up in his bedroom.
Josh Coulson had come closest for the host that night, but does he regret not scoring with that header?
Ultimately, it was the best thing to ever happen because we got to go to Old Trafford and earn the club a lot more money and we got to play at Old Trafford and again play. We had massive headlines. But yeah, that one sticks out, that miss, but probably the best miss of my career.
And Tom Champion believes a draw was still a great result.
And obviously in the end, the chance goes over from Josh and we end up drawing the game and going to Old Trafford. So it kind of all worked out, I think, for the club and obviously for us as players as well.
We are Cambridge Radio.
Monday, February the 2nd, 2015. Richard Money gives his thoughts ahead of the replay at Old Trafford. He starts by addressing some comments he made in his post-match interview 10 days earlier.
What's been said following that, and that the manager doesn't care if you win or lose, has been slightly lost in translation somewhere. Because I think the response was, and who cares, because we've just earned ourselves a game at Old Trafford, which was a response immediately after the game. If you go to Las Vegas and you play those fruit machines and you win the jackpot, then that's probably what the draw was in terms of Cambridge versus Man United. To get the replay probably means we bought a lottery ticket and won the lottery. Now we've bought a Euro Millions ticket and the percentage of chance diminishes because of it. But because you've got a ticket, you do have a chance. So that's how I feel. What I can say is that we're going to go there and try and play as well as we can. And we're going to go and try there and be as positive as we can. So you can take from that what you want. But I think to go there with no belief would be dangerous. But we're well aware of the task in front of us. This morning we've talked about, remember what it was like at Wembley. And because we watched the first game, you can see the stadium. So picture the stadium. It's not too much different other than the fact that it'll be full. So try and prepare yourself in the best way that you can, because it's the only thing that you can do. Everyone was talking all the way around the world about the draw here, 0-0. But it lasted for 24 hours because the following day, Bradford went to Chelsea and Middlesbrough went to Man City. And the Man United result was very quickly forgotten, especially as they became favourites to win the cup overnight. So it is possible. Those results tell you it's possible. Whether you can do it the second time around is obviously the big question.
Tuesday, February the 3rd, 2015, the night of the replay. One player in particular was excited to face his former club.
I remember sort of we stayed at another plush hotel, to be fair, the Marriott in the sort of Manchester City Centre, got the bus over. And in the bus over, I was sort of visualising my performance. I knew that I was playing sort of on the wide left against a young lad, Paddy McNair. He was a real promising player. But for some reason in my head, I thought, I'm going to have the game of my life tonight. It's going to be like Roy the Rovers. I'll score a goal.
Matt Lockwood made it there in good time.
I was actually on a coach with the chairman of Cambridge United, Dave Doggett, at the time. We had the special coach and Josh Coulson's dad was on there as well. Me and my mate managed to get a special pass onto here. So we got there just in time. I think it was about 7:30, 7:25.
But it appears some supporters are having a nightmare trying to get to the Theatre of Dreams on time.
So I was originally going to go up on one of the coaches, but we decided to. My parents live in Manchester, so we'd gone up earlier on in the day. So we actually missed it, but we were talking to people on the phone who were on the coaches going, we're not even going to make it. I think it was good that they did actually delay it. 6,500 fans, I mean, that's a logistical nightmare to get 6,500 people down from Cambridge for the evening. Unfortunately, I think the last coach arrived towards the half time mark,
I think.
Which is a bit unfortunate, but most people got in.
I had a wretched journey and unfortunately I missed the early chance. It's one of my worst fears, you know, playing in a game of that magnitude and I'm not in the stadium. It was a horrible feeling, actually. Yeah, the roads were chaos. We'd heard they put the kickoff back. We're looking at our phones and watches and thinking, you know, are we going to get there just in time?
The kickoff is then put back by 20 minutes due to disruption faced by other Hughes fans who were en route to Old Trafford.
Yeah, I remember I'd been on a warm coach and I'd sprinted out off the coach into it was a really cold evening and run up of however many flights of steps, and I don't really suffer asthma, but I ended up at half having an asthma attack.
And how were the players feeling?
We went out for the warm-up and then got told it had got delayed, the kickoff's being delayed, and I remember Matt Walker saying, right, come on everyone in the change rooms then, we don't need to be out here and don't want to be warming up. And the boys looked at him like, Matt, relax yourself, mate, we're staying out here, we're warming up at Old Trafford. I remember taking shots at the goal thinking, I'm never probably going to get to do this again. Like,
Rooney hadn't played in the home fixture, and he was the one that, he was obviously England captain at the time, Man United captain, the one that I was hoping to rub shoulders against. So there was a disappointment when I saw he wasn't in the lineup for the first game. So the second game, all I was thinking is, you know, please let Rooney play and let me play against him. And knowing he would be captain and I'd be captain, I was praying for that.
It's the first time I'd ever sort of gone back to Old Trafford as a player throughout my whole career.
The captains meet with the referee and the other captains and managers in the referee's room to sort of have a quick meeting, and I didn't know who was going to be coming in. So myself and Richard Money were waiting for the door to open, and then, yeah, Wayne Rooney walks in, I think with Ryan Giggs at the time, because he was the assistant manager.
The game finally gets underway at 8:05. Once again, the fans and players tell us the story of the second match between the two Uniteds.
Just hoping we could contain them again and do something, really, even get in front. And we were so close on the night, obviously, to go in 1-0 up.
Right from the kickoff, virtually, it was, in fact, I think, it was probably 30, 40 seconds in. I think it was Daley Blind gave the ball away, and Tom Elliott was through on goal.
We'd seen him score goals like that, left, right and centre, you know, previous to that, and he just arrived too late for it. And it was one of those things where, you know, the crowd held their breath, everybody, because United fans, because they didn't want to go down, and us, because we thought we'd score.
As he took the shot, I've got a feeling he slipped. He didn't fall over or anything, but I think he lost his footing, and he hit the post.
Would have took the lead against Manchester United, and then Tom Elliott scores in front of the Stretford end. It would have just been a delirious few minutes to celebrate that goal.
The singing would have gone up another level, and it was loud enough as it was. It had been just great to have been able to celebrate a goal at Old Trafford.
I'm sure for Tommy Elliott that still repeats in his mind on a daily basis, because it was the chance that no one ever thought we would get.
I remember after about 20 minutes I'd not touched the ball, and all I'd done was chasing Paddy McNair, who was running off the back of me all night, and I was sort of thinking, this ain't going to be how I expected it to be.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I remember the goals.
I think it was from a corner.
We did a lot of preparation on Fellaini at set pieces, and he had a bit of an uncontested knockdown, which we were not pleased with.
He flicked it down, as you say, and Juan Mata. It was a decent little finish, I have to say.
I remember there was a few questions asked after the goal went in.
Marouane Fellaini was the difference maker in that game. But as soon as that goal went in and we'd missed our chance, that was it. The game was done. And Robin van Persie's an excellent footballer. Puts a brilliant ball into the box, and as I say, we're all standing there like statues. Nothing's changed to this day either from our defending point of view. And yeah, Marcus Rocco stole in.
It was a great atmosphere despite everything, you know, all through the game. Even it was 2-0 on about 30-35 minutes or something. Even after that, I think, you know, Cambridge United fans were really trying to encourage the team.
The pitch just felt double the size of the Abbey pitch, and it felt like, you know, it was so hard to get around the pitch and get close to them.
And actually got took in the medical area at half time just for a few blows of the inhaler, and they were trying to urge me to sit in there and remain in there for the second half, and I said, look, you know, even if I'm half breathing here, my team are out there playing, I need to get out there and see it.
A great moment though was Luke Chadwick, who started the game. I mean, he didn't finish it, and it went off early in the second half. But, of course, great career with Manchester United. And I do remember the home fans gave him a rousing reception, which I thought was lovely.
I remember sort of having a pretty ineffective game, but getting subbed off probably around the hour mark and getting a standing ovation from the Man United fans, the Cambridge fans. And that's probably one of the most special feelings I've ever had on a football pitch. I didn't even think that the many Man United fans would remember who I was. It was so long since I'd been there. I didn't obviously play a huge amount of games for them.
To see Wayne Rooney on the pitch was just one of those things. But yeah, I mean, Chris Dunn had been the hero of the first game. When the shot left his foot, it looked like it was going to be a goal. But as I say, Chris Dunn was equal to it.
James Wilson, obviously, he's playing for Paul Vale now, I think, you know. Yeah, and he got the third.
There wasn't an awful lot to sort of shout about as far as going forwards, but yeah, we were just happy to be there. I thought we put up quite a good display. When you go to Old Trafford, everything seems massive. You know, you've gone from playing on the tight Abbey Stadium to, you know, huge stands and massive green area.
Manchester United won 3-0, and the result never really looked in too much doubt. It wasn't to be for Cambridge United, but they did have Chris Dunn to thank again for keeping the score down. His saves from Angel Di Maria and Robin van Persie were also among the highlights for travelling supporters. Winning at Old Trafford proved to be a step too far, but for their captain, it was at least mission accomplished in terms of getting something to remember the night by.
Listening to the referee talk, and all I could think about was trying to ask Rooney for his shirt at the end of the game, which I managed to do.
And Josh Coulson also got some shirts.
Home game, I swapped with Phil Jones, and then the away game, Ander Herrera, who was amazing, tweeted me after the game and stuff like that. So, again, credit to their players. I thought they were all amazing. They let us in the change room and no problems with swapping shirts and stuff like that. They were amazing.
So what did Hughes fans make of their second evening in the spotlight? We'll find out shortly. Plus, we look at the legacy of the match at the Abbey Stadium and how they finally managed to pull off a modern-day FA Cup giant killing 7 years later. Stay tuned.
Cambridge Radio. Cambridge Radio podcasts tell the story of our city and the people who live here. Debate the issues that matter to you with CAMS Politics.
If we really want to support the government's ambition for growth, we can't do it here just in Cambridge. We have to partner with other cities.
Follow your local teams in From the Terraces.
With the right partner, perhaps he has got the potential to do some damage, but he looks a little bit like a lost sheep to me. He doesn't kind of fit the pattern of United's play.
Get your cultural fix in Cambridge Arts Roundup.
One of the things that's been interesting is to figure out different strategies to display my own work, but also figure out strategies to just rehang existing paintings.
Listen to your favourite Cambridge podcast on Radio Player or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cambridge Radio.
Welcome back to Cambridge Sports Special, having the night of our lives on Cambridge Radio. A short time ago, we stepped back in time to February the 3rd, 2015, the night of Cambridge United's FA Cup fourth round replay with Manchester United. The Premier League giants won comfortably by 3-0. But the League Two side supporters enjoyed their night out and were proud of a team that a year earlier had been playing non-league football week in, week out. Scott McGeorge, Tim Armitage, Gary Atters and Michael Barnes give their post-match analysis 10 years on.
I've been to some, you know, some a lot less glamorous grounds than that over the years, especially, you know, having just come out of the conference, been to places like Braintree and Tamworth, etc. And then to be stood there like a year or two later at Old Trafford was just special.
Better sides than us had been beaten by more goals at Old Trafford. Just to be there to sing, to out-sing the United fans and to be chatting with the United fans afterwards and saying, people who'd seen both games saying, you know, I don't understand how we are where we are. We should be much further up. And what a great game it was, both games, even the loss at Old Trafford. So I think, you know, we did ourselves proud, and I think that's all you can ask for out of a cup tie like that.
We were sitting also just along from Max Rushton, who, you know, everybody knows as our celebrity fan or one of our few celebrity fans. And he came and spoke and had a picture with my son and stuff. And yeah, it was a great day out. I mean, that's how you treat those games, as a day out, because you know not necessarily you're going to get anything from them.
We kept our shape well and actually played, you know, as well as could have been asked, I think.
They never thrashed us. They were comfortable, I think, towards the end, probably later in the second half. But again, we put up a good show.
The result was pretty conclusive in the end, although United weren't disgraced by any means.
What did the Hughes boss at the time, Richard Money, make of it all? He spoke to the media afterwards.
Yeah, I think extremely proud, to be honest. Tinge of disappointment at half-time, I think, because we gave the ball away too cheaply in the first half. On occasions, we had a real opportunity to maybe go and hurt them and gave it away very quickly. But the second half, we've really gone and played with some composure and I thought with some purpose. I'm not sure how easy it is to go and play like that right from the first whistle against a team whose gulf in class is obviously so evident. But yeah, I tried to just say to them at half time, and let's be honest, what's the worst that can happen? You lose four or five, they can score four or five against any of the teams that are around them, you know. But let's not leave the stadium with a real tinge of disappointment that we haven't gone and tried to give them a game. And I thought second half we gave them a good game.
One thing I remember was he said a goal would have been nice for the fans.
The only tinge of disappointment for me is that we didn't score. I think if McGeehan scores at the death, we walk off the pitch 3-1 and it's probably been the perfect evening, given the way the game has gone. And, you know, supporters have seen their team score at Old Trafford.
and looking back was taking Manchester United to a replay, still the best possible outcome in the end. Josh Coulson gives his thoughts.
A replay was probably better for us than beating them, because we get the double side of it. We get the money for that game and 50% of the gate at Old Trafford, which holds quite a few more people than the Abbey.
And that second game ended up being extra special in some ways for Luke Chadwick.
To get that coming off was so special, and such a brilliant feeling to receive that for what ended up being the last game of professional football that I ever started. So it was quite a nice story.
The two matches were said to have brought in £1 million to the club. And naturally, the aptly named Hughes boss also wanted to talk about the financial reward.
We're a club that needs to grow. We need a new stadium. We need a new training ground or more facilities at the training ground. And I think that's what the money from the, not just from the tie, but from the cup run will do for us.
Tom Champion was the Cambridge United captain at the time.
The fact that, you know, we'd kind of secured the club's kind of, you know, near future, and that they were going to be able to have a platform to really kick on and as a league team was massive.
Dave Doggett was interviewed on Five Live the following day, and he did actually say, they asked him what they were going to spend the money on, and he did say they were going to put some new toilets in.
Matt Lockwood also remembers the press coverage at the time.
And it became a really sort of big media joke at the time. You know, you saw it in a lot of the national papers, you know, the Sun and all that. I know we're not supposed to say that word, but, you know, those types of papers where, you know, it was all over in the article with Dave saying, oh, we're going to improve this and all that.
Saturday, January the 8th, 2022, with the 7th anniversary of the first game at the Abbey Stadium on the horizon, Cambridge United are preparing to take on Premier League opposition again in the FA Cup. This time they're at St James's Park to face Newcastle United, who at this stage are struggling in the Premier League. But they've recently had a cash injection from Saudi Arabia and have the highly rated Eddie Howe in the dugout. This season there are no replays, so the tie will be settled on the day with extra time and penalties if needed.
Newcastle, you flip it round, you know, you looked at their team sheet before the game and you see, you know, you think they're going to take it easy on you. You're reading out the names. Kieran Trippier's making his debut. You think they'll look after him. Jonjo Shelvey, Murphy, St Maximum, and you think, blimey, we're going to be in for a hiding here. And it's one of the best Cambridge United displays that I've seen.
Joe Ironside scores the winning goal for the U's in the 56th minute.
St James's Park is a great place to go and again be the massive, you know, it's not even worth calling us underdogs, the people who are going to get hammered by Newcastle. To put on a performance that was even close to that was something that, you know, we never expected. There are surprises, but you don't think it's going to be, you know, Cambridge against Newcastle, and it was.
How does the victory at St James's Park compare to the night Manchester United came to town?
It's very, very difficult to choose one over the other. I think they both have separate places in history. And if you get to see one of them in your lifetime, you're lucky. So if we've seen two in the space of a decade, then we're very fortunate.
It wasn't that we were lucky. We deserved to win that game. It was a genuinely great performance.
Teams of our status do go to places like Newcastle and get a result. That's memorable for a whole set of different reasons.
It was just taking it to the next stage and being able to win a game as we did, particularly after they become, I think it was the richest club in the world that's ever seen. And funny enough, my son was saying it was on the back page of newspaper. His girlfriend's Italian, and they were on. It was on Italian newspapers that we'd beaten them. You know, everybody was crying around Europe saying, wow, little Cambridge United have beaten Newcastle.
Obviously, since then, Cambridge have had Newcastle, which I hear Greg talking about quite a bit still, but I think Old Trafford's Old Trafford. And yeah, I look back on it and with fond memories, and again, there's not much that can compare to that in football, sir.
And what does Salima Kanbi think? He was a youth player himself by this point.
I don't know. I think it's really hard to answer that. I think the club was definitely in a more difficult position when they played Manchester United, you know, back in 2015. We hadn't been in the league for that long. It was just massive for us to even be in the EFL. Whereas when we went to St James's, obviously we'd been established in the EFL for a while now. The club had moved forward. We were becoming recognised as a proper league outfit.
What kind of legacy has the match at the Abbey Stadium left 10 years on.
I always see it as a good moment. Really, really excellent moment. But yeah, what led to it afterwards, you know, for the most part, it wasn't good for a good few years, and it's taken a long, long time for the football club to get itself back on an even footing, and probably the best footing that they've been in. And as you say, the Newcastle FA Cup game being one of them really, really more special memories, I think, than what we could have imagined at the time.
But for many fans, the impact the home Manchester United game had was still mostly positive, despite some challenges off the field in the years that followed.
It's difficult to evaluate the overall impact, although the fact that we are here talking about it 10 years afterwards is clearly significant. And I think maybe these things have an impact in the context of the history of the club.
It came after, you know, a dark period for the club, and it put Cambridge United back on the map. You know, when you're out of the Football League, you're kind of out of people's sight and mind. You get no coverage, and then all of a sudden, you know, like I say, we'd got promotion and we were playing in big games, and then to get that draw, it just got everyone talking about your club, you know, your city.
These are the games people remember forever. You know, we played United, or, you know, a non-league side knocks out a League One side or whatever it is. Those are the moments that people remember.
Looking back on it now, I do think that obviously that match was huge for the club.
The one you'll look back on, and yeah, it really will take some beating atmosphere-wise. It had that real unique, special feel, and one that had maybe witnessed years before but forgot what it was like to feel like that in such a big game. And as I said, the Abbey Stadium, when it's packed, it can be a special place.
The Manchester United home game, the memory is of seeing it right up close, and I think that's really something special. I don't know how many times I've been to the Abbey Stadium, hundreds, you know. But the number of games that stand out like that, you could definitely count on very few fingers.
I think, first and foremost, visibility is massive. You know, you just, to be able to have Cambridge United go up against Manchester United, you know, like international giants, the club's history is so rich, it's unbelievable. It set a precedent, I think.
To live through so much happening in such a short space of time, getting back into the league, two Wembley appearances, and then United, was kind of the culmination of what was a really amazing 12 months and longer. And, you know, and it set us up for the trajectory we're heading on now. Yeah, there's disappointments along the way, but we are getting better and better and better.
That's all we've got time for. Cambridge Sports Special, Having the Night of Our Lives, was presented and co-produced by me, Daniel Baker. The show was also co-produced by Tim Armitage and Scott McGeorge. And a special thanks to Al Robinson, Gary Atters, Josh Coulson, Julian Clover, Luke Chadwick, Matt Lockwood, Michael Barnes, Michael McCann, Salima Canby and Tom Champion. And the crowd noise is courtesy of the Football Association. And if you want to listen to this programme again, you can do so at cambridge.radio. Bye for now.